It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by on-camera and voiceover talent RodHunter.com and the law offices of Matthew Simone. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist Bob Siegel.
President Trump is challenging the election integrity of California. Gee, why, oh why, would anyone do that? To offer an important, objective analysis, we have none other than ABC News, the trusted pinnacle of quality journalism. Just look at their headline. Trump accuses California Democrats without evidence of trying to steal elections. That's their headline. My friends, this isn't supposed to be a column. It's not the editorial section. It's supposed to be hard news. You can have any opinion you want about Trump, and you can write about it in another section of your paper. That is not the same as reporting a story. It's only their opinion that Trump has no evidence, unless they want to prove it factually. But of course, they do nothing of the kind. They merely quote an official. Here are their words. California Democratic Party chairperson Rusty Hicks told ABC News that Trump's claims were baseless. Everyone knows California will complete a fair and accurate count. End of story, Hicks said. Well, that settles it. The spokesman for the Democrats says the counting will be fair. That's good enough for me. We can wrap up another one. Yeah, there's no evidence of election fraud in California. None whatsoever. They don't require voter ID. They protest all arrests of people who are in the country illegally. What possible reason could they have for that unless they are counting on extra votes from people grateful for their defense and extra population to help draw their districts in the national census? They're also trying to pass a law against people like Nick Shirley exposing fraud. Speaking of fraud, they send out ballots by mail to every person in California, which makes any election ripe for fraud, even people that don't live in California anymore, even people that aren't asking for ballots. COVID was their excuse in 2020, but we knew it was an excuse, and it was proven as an excuse when the epidemic ended, and they continued the practice anyway. They allow weeks for the votes to be counted, to be fair. That's understandable. How else are they going to see how far behind they are so that they can create new votes for Democrat candidates? They love to call any Republican who questions their election integrity election deniers. But Democrats themselves protest every single election they lose. The entire 4 years of Trump's first presidency, they called him an illegitimate president. Why? Because he won. And they knew he was about to expose the deep state. By the way, he won in 2020 as well. I don't care if you call me an election denier or not. Trump is ahead in six states, which all stopped counting at midnight by an incredible coincidence. And by this same coincidence, the next morning, Biden is ahead with votes that only say Biden for the most part and have no up or down votes for any other candidates or ballot measures. Sure, now I'll tell one. Biden got more votes than Obama. Biden, the blithering idiot who campaigned from his basement and only occasionally held a rally. Trump's rallies were so filled they turned people away at the door. They averaged 6,000 in attendance per rally, whereas Biden had about 200. Well, I shouldn't exaggerate. Okay. 300. And then before the election, there were the states who unconstitutionally changed their election laws. There were local polls that wouldn't allow observers in those late hours. Sworn affidavits of whistleblowers were also coming in, people who witnessed cheating firsthand. But you can't say this without being called an election denier. Now, there are some news outlets better than ABC, such as the New York Post. But while their news is accurate, it is unfortunately reporting the policies of their city, New York. And so the news, while accurate, is accurately reporting hideous things. Here's a recent headline from the New York Post. Dems replace mother with just stating parent in latest woke rewrite of New York law. Well, I guess we shouldn't be too hard on the Democrats. After all, there's nothing wrong with changing names to catch up with changing times, and the Democratic Party has certainly changed with the times, so I am going to suggest a new name of my own. They should now be called the Nazi Jihadist Party. Now you're asking, what's the difference between Nazis and jihadists? And I didn't say all Muslims, I said jihadists. What's the difference between a Nazi and a jihadist? A Nazi wants to conquer the world and murder all Jews in the name of godless socialism. A jihadist wants to conquer the world and murder all Jews in the name of religion. Just check out their candidates, all with the Democrats. Graham Plattner in Maine, who has a Nazi tattoo and retweeted a line about Jews in America needing to be rounded up and deported as a final solution. Now, he's imploding, but mostly because of all the stuff that's coming out about him and other women and things he did online. The Nazi stuff they were defending. Again, he is imploding, but up to now, for the most part, the Democrats have defended him because, well, yeah, he has problems, but at least he'll stop Trump. Nobody can put it better than Bernie Sanders when he was asked about him. The man has problems, but at least he'll stop the oligarchy. At least he'll stop the billionaires. Yeah, the word is now billionaires. They used to speak against millionaires. But Bernie is now a millionaire with three homes and a private jet. So they had to change it to billionaires. Well, so much for Plattner, but there's also the mayor of New York City, Zoran Mankami, who refused to march in the Israel Day parade, who has called for global intifada. And then how about the primary voters in Jersey's 12th district? They just nominated Adam Hamaway. They nominated him for U.S. Congress. He had testified on behalf of terrorist mastermind Omar Abdel Rahman, otherwise known as the Blind Sheik, the person in charge of the first World Trade Center bombing. And Hamaway has also volunteered with an Al-Qaeda-linked group in Bosnia and at a Hamas-friendly hospital in Gaza. But wait, there's more. Abdul El-Sayed, a Democrat senator candidate in Michigan, says Israel is just as bad as Hamas and has had podcaster Piker stand with him at the rallies. Piker said he didn't care that Jewish women were raped by Hamas. But I would be remiss if I suggested that anti-Semitism is the only characteristic of Democratic candidates. They also have candidates who are just plain stupid. As if Texas candidate for Senate James Tallarico hasn't already made enough of a name for himself with his vegan commentary and claim that God is non-binary, now he's opening his big mouth about abortion, claiming the Bible supports abortion. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible does not support abortion. When Mary was pregnant with baby Jesus, she visited her Aunt Elizabeth 6 months along. That is 6 months along with Jesus' cousin, John the Baptist. You can read this in the Gospel of Luke. It says when Elizabeth got in the presence of Mary, the babe inside of her leaped in her womb. How does a lifeless fetus leap? Call me a romantic, but it sure sounds like the Bible is portraying that baby as being already alive. Still, for years, I have heard the left claim that the Bible is being pro-choice. Number of years ago now, the National Organization of Women even came out with a pro-choice Christmas card. Christmas, which celebrates the birth of Jesus. I remember going on the radio and asking this question over the air. After Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit, did Mary have a right to choose whether or not to carry the baby to full term? Well, Tallarico has answered that question.
But I say all this in terms of, in context of abortion, because before God comes over Mary and we have the incarnation, God asks for Mary's consent, which is remarkable. I mean, go back and read this in Luke. I mean, the angel comes down and asks Mary if this is something she wants to do. And she says, if it is God's will, let it be done. Let it be. Let it happen. So to me, that is an affirmation in one of our most central stories.
Hey, Tallarico, Gabriel was not asking permission. He was simply telling her what was about to happen. Let me read the passage. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. Catching on, Tallarico, she accepted the blessing as something that was, in fact, going to happen. But your compassion and concern for life, Tallarico, was already demonstrated when you announced your vegan campaign as a way of stopping cruelty to animals. Such concern for animal life over the life of an unborn baby moves me close to tears. This is Bob Siegel making the obvious obvious.
As if you haven't figured it out by now, Bob is mildly opinionated about the ultimate issues of life. But Bob also respects the opinions of others. To offer your own viewpoint or to challenge Bob with a thought-provoking question, give us a call at 1-888-344-1170. 1-888-344-1170. You can also reach Bob through Facebook or questions@bobsiegel.net. When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-age child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
With all the loose, unbridled talk about separation between church and state, words actually not found in our Constitution, it might be time to remind ourselves what the First Amendment actually does say. Congress shall make no law concerning the establishment of a religion or prohibiting its free exercise thereof. It seems ironic to review such basic human liberty, but then we are living in times that make logic stand on its head. Christians, we need to stop rolling over and playing dead for such nonsense. This is not ancient Rome, where we have no choice but to meet in the secret catacombs. We are citizens of the United States with the same rights to freedom of speech as everyone else. The Establishment Clause does not mean that religious practice is censored unless I'm inside some kind of cathedral. Instead, this First Amendment guarantees that no Americans will ever be forced to believe in a religion against their will. The intent of our forefathers was not freedom from offense. They knew speech and open practice would often be offensive. Why else would they have passed laws to protect it? Now, I want to talk to my fellow secular citizens for a moment. I have no desire to impose my Christianity on you. Honestly, I don't. I respect your right to believe whatever you want. Still, with all due respect, if you do not wish to see a cross on the hill or a manger scene, your first potential option is to turn the other way. If the sight is unavoidable, then you can laugh at the foolish beliefs and just be thankful that nobody is forcing you to embrace them. For myself, I don't care to hear people swear, and I don't enjoy listening to people say things about Christianity that I know to be untrue. But we experience rants and raves against Jesus Christ all the time. All the time, on television, in the classroom, on the internet, in the office, and just about every other forum one can possibly imagine. We Christians can take it. We've been taking it for a long time. So can you take it when the shoe is on the other foot? The First Amendment must cut both ways. I will defend to my death your right to not be religious and to say anything you want about Christianity. I will. But I will speak my beliefs as well. Make no mistake about that. Now, I have met atheists honestly convinced, sincerely convinced. I mean, nice people, friendly people, and they sincerely, honestly believe that Christianity is trying to take over this country. I feel bad for them because I know they truly believe that. Ironically, a lot of these same people do not seem as bothered by the religion of Islam, which openly teaches in its own scriptures that every person in the world must convert or die. In England, the religion of Islam is growing at an alarming rate. Hate speech laws are being passed forbidding people to speak against Islam. Sharia law is slowly replacing English law in Muslim communities. This means that a growing population will not be expected to accept the rule of democracy. America may not be far behind. In the news just recently, in America, a professing moderate Muslim who owned a TV station murdered his wife. It's an honor killing. Called the police and bragged about what he did. None of this seems to concern people, but when a man and a wife hold a Bible study in their home, that concerns people. Yeah, we might be going the way of England, but is there no hope for merry old England anymore? I've always wanted to visit England. I wonder now if the country will even be recognizable in 10 years. As a matter of fact, wouldn't it be interesting to find out? How about a time trip 10 years into the future? Come with me as we transcend the boundaries of time and space, as we pop the pond and see what awaits us on the other side. There it is. I can see it from here. Merry old England and London. So far, London looks the same. In fact, is that Big Ben I see out in the horizon? It is. It's Big Ben, and not at just any time of the day. It's Big Ben right before the stroke of 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Well, we're in for a treat. When the clock strikes three, we'll hear that famous chime. Here it comes. Well, that wasn't quite the Big Ben we've grown to love. It sounds more like Big Ben Laden. This is Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785, that's 447-8785, for W&S Electric, Incorporated, license number 480539, WNS Electric.
Bob Siegel's novel, Push the Winds Around, is now available in both ebook and print copies. Check out this customer review from Amazon.com. Talk about a good read. Have you ever thought, if only God would allow me to go back in time to right my wrongs? What if I could change those decisions I made? What would be the outcome? Would the changes make a difference? If you have ever thought about that, then this book is your challenge. The story is so good you won't want it to end. You'll see why it deserves 5 stars. Bob Siegel, you've done it again. Can't wait for the sequel. Push the Winds Around, available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to 1170 AM, 96.1 FM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. Say hello again to my producer, Brendan Thomas.
Well, Bob, how are you doing this afternoon? Good?
A lot better than the city of Los Angeles.
That is for sure, yes. We'll talk about that in just a second. I just want to say up front, I don't feel the most qualified out of all the Bob Siegel guests or co-hosts of this show. I think this should be more of a term of a Mike Friedenberg or who is the lady that'll come in?
Ruth Wise.
Yeah. This is more of her perspective, but nevertheless, I will try my best.
That's quite all right, Brendan. You always do very well.
I will try my best with the research that I happen to find out. So let's go ahead and talk about the LA mayor race that has been going on. So first off, this election has happened since June 2nd, if I remember
Tuesday.
We're 5 days in, Bob.
And we're told that they can go all the way to July to count them.
This is getting so ridiculous. Can I read this? I need to read this little tidbit, okay? There's a friend I have on Facebook who shared this information. In Brazil, they have 124 million ballots for their elections. 2 hours it takes them to count, and they find the election results right then and there. France, 34 million ballots, 4 hours. India, one of the most populated countries.
Yeah, they're very quick in India.
640 million ballots.
You know why? Because they want to count it. They want to be accurate.
Yes, exactly. And it takes them 24 hours, one day, to count. I give India more time, possibly, because of how many ballots there are. But you know what? 24 hours. This is getting
inexcusable. Remember a couple of weeks ago, Newsom said if the Republicans got ahead, they were going to break the glass?
Yep.
I talked about that last week.
Exactly.
Last week, I said wasn't very hopeful. I said I was hopeful if it was going to be an honest election.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't believe it would be honest. I said, I hope I'm wrong. But if I had money to bet in Vegas, I think there's a little more hope for Hilton, even though he was in top place. Mm-hmm. And notice how when he was in top place, they didn't call the election.
Right, exactly.
Now the Democrats in top place by just one percentage point more.
Yeah.
And they've called the election for him.
Exactly, exactly.
But the problem is it's all practically all Democrat districts in Los Angeles. So I don't think we have much of a prayer for.
Well, I'll talk about the governor race in the next segment, but in the meantime, let me just finish up this last 2 points here. Germany, 51 million ballots, 8 hours. Argentina, 25 million ballots, 6 hours. America, 150 million ballots, 37 days. That's
just in California. In Florida, they count them really quickly. Florida used to be the state that held us up.
Yeah, remember
just one district. And then when DeSantis got in, the first thing, I don't remember the woman's name, but the first thing he did is he went in and fired her.
I was going to say, even back in the 2000 election. All right, so let's get back into this LA mayor situation. So day one results. Let me just start off by saying, wasn't it kind of weird that 45,000 votes automatically went to Karen Bass all of a sudden? Not a single vote went to any of the independent, no-name candidates that were randomly there?
They're only reporting the top three. Some of them could have gone to those others.
It's possible, but automatically, right off the bat, within 1 hour, it was 45,000 to nothing.
This thing was fixed and decided before Election Day.
And then not only that, at the end of 24 hours of day one, Karen Bass was already announced, okay, she has enough votes to go past through the primary. What What is that? Are you kidding me right now? Already? Based on the job that she did for LA, she got that amount of votes and that amount of support? Come on. That's fishy already.
And isn't it interesting that when the late ballots come in, they always favor the Democrats? Every single time. Now, what makes me so suspicious is we have a lot of Democrats that didn't like Bass.
Mm-hmm.
I understand there's more Democrats than Republicans in California. Republicans voted with their feet and they left the state. I get that. It's a heck of a lot of Democrats and independents that are tired of what's going on. And yet the votes are still coming in for Democrats. Not the day of the election, but the many, many, many days following.
I'll get to maybe my suspicious thing here a little bit later on at the end, but let me go through the results just a little bit more here. So day two, Karen Bass receives 35.1% of the votes, which I'm just going to round the numbers because they are very specific here, which was just over 195,000 votes. Spencer Pratt was in second at that time at 29.4% and 164,000 votes. Nathalia Rahman was in third, 23.4%. percent of the votes at 130,000 votes. 66% of votes were counted that day. And not only that, on that particular day, she said, "I lost. I was defeated." She
and
did
isn't
it.
She up to 28% now with Prattner only being 29%.
Well, actually, like that. I'll just finish that up here in just a second. Day three comes out. All of a sudden, a report comes in. 35,000 extra mail-in ballots just came in all of a sudden, Bob, out of the blue, out of nowhere.
Jiminy, how did that happen?
And they all just coincidentally voted for one candidate. Rahman.
Notice they don't even come in for the Mayor Bass anymore because she's already been declared. It's no longer an issue. It's got to be the last one so that we have two Democrats going to the ballot in November.
Very strange all of a sudden. And now I can officially announce this just came in for the numbers about 40 minutes ago,
okay,
Bob. So this is hot off the press.
I don't even want to hear this, but go ahead.
Karen Bass, 35%, 250,871 votes. Spencer Pratt, 27%. 193,085 votes. Rahman, 27%, but 196,198 votes.
So she's now tied in the percentage.
She's tied in the percentage. However, she is above 3,000% over Spencer Pratt. So now she is officially in second place.
I saw this coming. Anybody with brains saw this coming.
Currently, we're at 83% of votes counted so far as we speak. So there's still another 17%.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. The two Democrats from LA are going to the race.
Nay, I actually am going to differ your opinion, actually. I do think that Spencer Pratt will pull it off in the end very quickly.
Really?
Here at the end.
Now, how's
I really
he going to pull that rabbit out?
I have no. I do.
He's up against the Democrat lying machine.
I completely understand. But 17% is a pretty big chunk still, especially with that tight of margins.
They're all going to come in for.
It is possible it could be for Rahman, but
it's going to come in for
Rahman. Are you saying there is no possibility at all? None of those votes are for Pratt.
I can't say that with absolute certainty, but I'll say it with 99% certainty.
I'm actually still going to say I am 55% sure. That's how sure I am. 55% sure that Spencer Pratt will pull it off.
I hope you're right. I hope I'm wrong. I will be delighted to be wrong.
Now we were talking about this, about how did Bass get that many Democratic votes in the first place. Keep in mind, who did Bass get the endorsement from?
Newsom. And who said he was going to break the glass that the Republicans are ahead? Newsom. They all but admit that they're going to cheat, but they do it with impunity because they know nothing's ever going to happen to
them. Well, not only that,
there's
but
no accountability.
If there's one person the Democrats are going to be fully supporting and backing behind in every single way, form, and fashion, it is Newsom.
And the Trump administration's going to investigate them, but it's going to go before some liberal judge who isn't going to do anything.
Now, this is where you guys will call me a hater now for doing this, because I know a couple of weeks ago you guys were hating on Bob for some reason when he's continuously said on the air, "No, I love Trump. I love Trump." Here's where I'm going to criticize Trump now. He should have endorsed Pratt, honestly. He kept saying, "Oh, he's a really good candidate."
I think Pratt was trying to portray himself as not being MAGA, and I think Trump actually thought he might hurt him by endorsing him. I think that's what's going on.
Do you think doing that actually hurts Pratt's campaign now is the problem now? Because, you know, whenever we have
I think
a
there
really
were enough
strong
independents
support.
That Pratt assured, "Hey, I'm not MAGA. I'm mostly an independent, even though I'm technically a Republican." And I think Trump honestly wanted him to win, but was afraid that if he endorsed him, he'd foul it up.
I have to say, again, the support system that Trump has, even up in L.A., because there are some Republicans in L.A.,
course.
For
there's,
sure.
There's a few.
If Trump just straight out said, I'm endorsing him, I think he would have had a stronger voter turnout all of a sudden, and we would have had a
possibly, but I still don't think it would have mattered. I think all these late votes for, what's her name, Rahman would have come in.
I will say this as well. Do I think the endorsement would have helped with the general election at the end of this year? I personally don't think so. I still don't trust our election system that far. I'm just saying, it's simply in this primary election, if Trump was endorsing Pratt, maybe he would have had a lot more.
Well, these jungle primaries are a nightmare anyway. Each party's supposed to be able to nominate their own candidate to go to the general election. These jungle primaries were set up so that we wouldn't even get a Republican candidate in the general. Then what happened? It started backfiring, and some Republican candidates were doing good in the jungle primary. So what did they do? They broke the class, otherwise known as cheating.
Yes. Besides that, too, we've been seeing party after party attacking each other, too. Even in our own local elections, one Republican will fight against one Republican. And then same thing goes
the
other way,
too.
And that just hurts everyone's party location.
It would have been good if Bianco had dropped out earlier and more people got behind Hilton. But you know what? I think all the Democrats are doing is seeing how many Hilton has and, well, how many more do we have to go out and create?
Mm-hmm. And if there's anybody who's been more frustrated about the California election, it actually is Trump. I don't know if you happened to hear his comments morning during the Meet the Press.
I heard a few of them,
I do have the small clip where he actually leaves in frustration, not only about the election, but specifically about the reporting that's been going on with mainstream media. Let's take a listen.
Do you think it's appropriate that they have an election and 5 days later they're nowhere close to picking
a winner? State and local officials acknowledge they are slow. They're urging.
No, they're crooked.
They're urging the votes to be counted quickly. That's how they vote in California.
They're crooked, just like you're crooked. Your press is crooked, and Meet the Press is crooked.
To be fair, I'm not crooked, but let's
really.
Let's
you play right into their hands.
Let's continue.
You're either crooked or you're stupid.
Let's continue.
Play right into their hands with this rep. You know that these elections are rigged. Your network knows that they're rigged. You know that I won an election in a landslide, and I got 94% bad press.
But, Mr. President,
you know why
you've
I got
never
that?
Presented
because you have no evidence. Credibility.
But you've never presented evidence that it was rigged. Let's keep talking about. I want to talk about Todd Lynch.
You have more evidence. There's more evidence than ever presented.
Let's talk
your
about
your elections in this country.
Court.
We're like a third world country.
But, sir,
your elections are crooked, and you're crooked, and Meet the Press is crooked,
but, Mr.
and so is ABC and CBS and CNN.
But Mr. President,
your one-sided crooked networks. All right, let's call it quits because I've had enough. Thank you, darling. Have a good time.
Mr. President, let's please. I traveled all the way to Wisconsin.
I've sat in the rain.
I traveled all the way to Wisconsin.
On and off in the rain, and I've given you enough time. You ought to straighten out your press because you know what?
Mr. President,
a country can never be great with a dishonest press.
Listen, we traveled all the way to Wisconsin for this interview.
I do feel bad. Oh, she kept saying, like, seriously, I've been from Wisconsin.
She sits there and says there's no evidence. There is so much. I went through it in my mom. There is so much evidence that the 2020. And people always say, well, it didn't pass the muster in court. My friends, the courts wouldn't take the cases.
Exactly, yes.
You can't say that the courts made a decision. They wouldn't take the case.
The courts have been pretty much always against Trump this entire election season.
Of course.
So, and that's the only thing that's been holding back Trump and his presidency, and for that matter, Congress as well, trying to get certain laws passed. The courts seem to stop it in its tracks all the time. It's a checks and balance system that's not really checking or balancing anything. It's in fact just skewing everything in the first place. And then on top of that, my favorite quote actually in this entire thing is Trump says that you're biased, NBC is biased, Meet the Press is biased, and she goes, first off, I'm not biased.
Settles that, And that ABC report that I read from in the monologue, they said Trump didn't have any evidence, and they're backing that statement up, was that the head of the Democratic Party in California said the election was fair. That's how they back up the fact that Trump doesn't have any evidence.
Exactly, yeah. That's not exactly
the
most reality.
What about the fact that they're going out and talking to homeless people and registering them to vote?
Right.
With what address?
A porta potty is what they...
Yeah.
Or not to mention their form
of identification. How many dead people are resurrecting every election year in voting?
Or their form of identification is a prescription bottle.
Yeah.
Basically. That's it? That's all you need?
Or people that don't even live in California anymore still getting ballots and sending them in?
See, exactly. So we have evidence stacked
upon this stuff about how it has to be postmarked by Election Day. Actually, they can write the postmark on. It doesn't even have to come from a post office.
It's true. It's true.
So there is nothing about this that passes the smell test.
And so I couldn't agree more with Trump's frustration of this election system. It needs to get fixed sooner rather than later. But of course, there's not going to be any changes anytime soon, especially while he is
and even if there's a lawsuit and an investigation, it'll be years. They won't overturn the results of this election.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to take a look at the governor's race. Like you said earlier, you're a little bit more hopeful, but
A little bit more because we still have some districts in California that are more conservative and aren't cheating.
Yes.
So they can't manipulate it as much, but they have manipulated it substantially. And I'm not real hopeful for that one either, but the LA one is over. A little bit of a possibility for Hilton.
Well, we'll talk about more about that in the latest election results when we come back to the Bob Siegel Show.
For a church that will not only challenge you but help you to feel like a part of a family? Why not try Skyline Church, located in Rancho San Diego near 94 and Hamishaw? I can testify firsthand to Skyline because I myself am a member. When you visit, tell them Bob Siegel sent you and ask about that free week-long trip to Bermuda for first-time visitors. They'll look at you like they don't know what you're talking about, and you will not in fact get any free trip to Bermuda. But you'll still be glad for a chance to experience Skyline Church. You don't want to go to Bermuda anyway. Too hot. And people who approach that area have been known to disappear. But they don't disappear at Skyline. Those who visit usually can't wait to come back.
Skyline Church.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show. Our theme, Christianity and its relationship to politics and pop culture, which means Christianity and its relationship to fraud and cheating. Say hello again to Brendan Thomas.
Well, okay, so once again, the LA mayor, we have talked about there's some been fraudulent and cheating things. Guess what? Same thing's happening in the California governor's race. What a surprise.
Naturally.
I know. Everyone's shocked, but let's talk about what's happened so far. So day one results. Steve Hilton was leading at 26.7% and over a million votes. To be exact, it was 1,085,277 votes. Javier Becerra was in second at 25.9%.
Yeah, he's 2 points behind.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's what, 2 points ahead?
Well, we'll talk about that. That would be the current results. Yeah. But this is the first day. Javier Becerra was in second.
We should make a song like the 12 Days of Christmas. It should. How many new votes came in? Till we get to call it the 12 days of voting in California.
Bob, that's your mission by the end of this
year.
That
would be a great satirical bit to play around Christmas time.
So we have 1,051,411 votes for Becerra. And then Tom Steyer was in third at 19.7%, 800,109 votes. That was day one. Day two, results basically stayed the same, except different numbers. 28% for Hilton, 25% for Becerra, 20% for Steyer. Again, we're looking at maybe an extra, I don't know, 300,000 votes for both Becerra and Hilton, and that Steyer only increased by, say, close to 200,000 votes. Now, day three, all of a sudden, another report came out. More mail-in ballots, Bob.
Shazam!
And guess what? All these ballots seem to go to one candidate
again.
The
late ones always go to the Democrats. Exactly. I just can't imagine why or how.
Now we're at the current result where we're looking at. We're at Becerra in the lead at 27%, 1.8 million votes. Then Hilton is in second place at 26.1% at 1.7.
Is Newton's new law going to make it against the law for us to say this about the election?
He's probably going to create create an executive order of some sort. Steyer's in third place.
I'll do it anyway, by the way.
Steyer's in third place at 21.3% at 1.4 million votes. Chad Bianco, just to finish off the big candidates, Chad Bianco's in fourth place right now at 10.7%, 724,000 votes so far. So a lot of Republicans still supporting Bianco, but they did listen to us. If there was any big supporter, according to the poll numbers and where we were going to go with all these things, we had to vote for Hilton. And I think for the most part, people did listen for sure. And don't get me wrong, we like Bianco as much as the next candidate for sure.
Yeah, it's just you don't want to split the vote. That's
exactly. Yeah. Now, the ones I do have to mention, Katie Porter's in fifth place. I love it so much. 4.5%, 301,000.
I guess we can at least be happy about that.
Bob, stop with the follow-up questions. I can't handle it. I will leave right now if you give me a follow-up question. Matt Mahan's in sixth place at 3.8%, 250,000 votes. Him and Porter can still have a fight.
So the motto for the Democrats is stop with the follow-up questions, but start with the follow-up votes.
Exactly. Yeah. I love how the last two, like, they were having the most tantrums with each other. Like, oh, you're doing this. Well, you're doing this. And we just completely ignored them and focused on the top two or three candidates, basically. So, as it should be.
Katie, get out of our shot. You are in our shot.
The only other thing to mention about this race, too, is the California Secretary of State has reported that 6.3 million votes have been counted so far. Another 3 million ballots are still in count. How long is this going to take?
And what's the point? We know they're all going to be for the Democrats.
So you really are saying Hilton is losing this top
spot? I think he'll lose, too. But like I said, there's a little more of a chance because some of the votes that haven't come in yet might be from districts that didn't cheat, because in wider California, there are places. Now, I don't know how soon the ones from, say, a conservative place like Huntington Beach came in, if they're all in or not. I don't know. I can't speak to that. But I'm not real hopeful for that one. How about you? Are you are more hopeful for
I am
Hilton.
Hopeful.
And you're still hopeful.
I'm hopeful. Yeah, I'm hopeful for the LA mayor one. But this one, I'm more hopeful like you are. In this case, it's because, again, we're talked about that splitting the vote situation. We're splitting the vote between Steyer and Becerra, both really big Democrat liberal politicians. So therefore, it gives a better opportunity for Hilton to get that second position.
Yeah,
I
but
really
you could have made
like.
The same argument about splitting the vote between Bass and Rahman too, right?
I guess so. But in that sense, I feel like there was a lot more fraudulent activity going in this one. In this particular sense, for the governor's race, the amount of votes and the amount of percentage lead between that speaks levels, in my opinion, more so than the LA mayor one. Because again, you're talking about, honestly, thousands of votes specifically on that mayor race. This one's millions of votes you're talking about as a specific difference of numbers. But then again, we've seen the Democrats beat, surprisingly, by like 20 million votes, then Biden gets in with only 10 people in at his inauguration for some reason. I don't understand how that one worked, but no one can understand that part. So those are our latest election results. When we come back, this has to be one of the craziest subcommittee meetings I have ever seen or heard in so long. And
but I loved watching them. It was like grab a bag of popcorn and enjoy it.
It was entertaining, to say the least. But as a taxpayer, I'm like, this is still wasting my time.
Yeah, when they're
money.
Asking Rubio about his shoes. Yeah. They're taking up time talking about that.
We'll talk about that when we come back to the Bob Siegel Show.
The much-anticipated sequel to The Dangerous Christmas Ornament is finally here, Inside the Castle in the Glass. Mike Owen is now in high school enjoying his new girlfriend and his new popularity. But life gets interrupted when a series of mishaps transfer him and his friends into a whole new world, the very world his mysterious Christmas ornament originated from. Inside the Castle in the Glass, available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
I'm Dr. David Poole, president of San Diego Christian College. At SDCC, you'll find a number of dynamic degree and certificate programs, including business, aviation, kinesiology, education, psychology, ministry, and more. Our curriculum blends academic excellence with a Christian worldview, ensuring you graduate ready to make a meaningful impact. Your journey starts here. Learn more at sdcc.edu. That's sdcc.edu. San Diego Christian College. Begin your journey.
All right, Brendan, we are down to our last segment.
Well, it was June 3rd, 2026, a simple Wednesday. It was National Donut Day, so you probably were having your donuts, you were just relaxing, when all of a sudden, up pops a notification on my phone that says, Congressional Senate hearing, subcommittee hearing for Secretary of State Marco Rubio, Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent, and Homeland Security Secretary Mark Wayne Mullen. I was thinking, okay, it just seems like another subcommittee meeting. There's nothing that's going to be popping
those
up about
poor
it,
so. Democrat stooges never knew what the heck hit them.
What was this?
They
movie?
Did not know what hit them. It was just a bloody massacre.
Can I talk about how this original meeting was specifically talking about the State Department's 2027 budget request, the Iran war, the department's foreign policy agenda amid ongoing efforts to reach a peace deal with Iran specifically, and not to mention the possibility of putting more pressure on Russian President Vladimir Putin and to end the Russian-Ukraine war, defending Taiwan in the event of a possible attack from China, and things of that nature. That's what this
meeting is supposed to be
about.
The problem is they're supposed to be asking these guys questions. None of them are interested in hearing an answer to their questions.
None.
They want a moment on TikTok and YouTube. They'll ask a question. The moment he tries to answer it, they'll cut him off, or they'll say, just yes or no. I used to get this when I used to do open-air evangelism on campuses.
Yep.
Just yes, I'd say, buddy, I will answer your question with my own words, not words you are attempting to put in my mouth.
Thank you. Now, I'm going to play this one clip. It's only about a minute long. I need to shout out Fox News for this one because they actually put like the perfect music behind it. Don't worry, it's not copyrighted. So you could put
this on. Is it Flight of the Bumblebee?
It would fit.
it's
pretty much basically like that. But you'll recognize the tune, and not to mention just the craziness that these Democrats come about with Marco Rubio. So let's take a listen.
Your shoes look very nice today, Mr. Secretary.
Well, how can you see them? They're way down here.
Practice what you preach. I've yielded my
head. Oh, she gets to scream now too?
Chairman, can we take...
I mean, is this the Foreign Affairs Committee or is this like a circus? Are you guys kidding me? Why is she leaving? I'm going to answer her questions.
I will...
Oh, she's got... Okay, I got it. Well, thank you for coming.
You're 100% inaccurate and 100% wrong. Here's why.
And just like you couldn't admit that the shoes the president bought you were too big.
I don't know what shoes she's talking about. What is she talking about?
I know your staff wrote up this cute statement for your TikTok video, but it's not true.
Like a dunk tank? What is this? He gave me some Florsheim shoes. They're actually pretty good. They fit fine. It's absurd and ridiculous. And I can't believe we're in a Foreign Affairs Committee meeting.
No,
even though we all know that President Biden won.
I don't answer the question, and it's not real. That's not what happened.
That's a cognitively impaired president, but I don't like to talk about that because it weakens America. You're not going to agree because you have another narrative that you want to push, but those are the facts.
My goodness gracious.
He's great.
You know, I questioned Marco Rubio here and there way back in the day. I'm done. That whole subcommittee.
Well, compared to these morons, the morons are making him look good.
I get it, yes.
These blithering nitwits couldn't talk their way out of a wet bag.
A few highlights there. We're talking about shoes during the subcommittee. I'm laughing and trying to breathe at the same time. We're talking about shoes in a foreign policy subcommittee.
Yeah.
Why? Just why? And not to mention, like you said, you asked the question of what's going on with Marco Rubio, and you up and walk.
He was one of the ones that complained, I'm not being allowed to. And every time he tries to answer it, the Democrats going, I want to reclaim my time. Mr. Chairman, I reclaim my time.
Yes. Now, one of the biggest ones, I do need to play this whole clip for you. Again, the whole thing is about 9 minutes, but I found a 30-second clip of just the basic.
Does it come with Beethoven's Ninth? Also?
No, there's no music behind it, because I do need you guys to hear this like loud and clear. Like, this is ridiculous. Al Green decides to question.
I'm
I'm so glad he lost the primary.
Me too. Me too. If this is the way he's going to behave.
Here's some good news with all the election bad news. I've been praying that people like him would just implode. Mm-hmm. And that's happening.
So I'll explain what my thought process is in Al Green's head after this clip, because I think this is more important that you guys hear this very quickly. So Al Green is in the middle of questioning Mark Wayne Mullen, and he actually brings up a horrible, horrible point, and then not to mention just being so rude during this whole subcommittee. But take a listen to this.
A racist, Mr. Secretary, would do what happened to Rudy.
Are you calling me a racist?
A racist.
I'm asking a question.
Reclaiming my time, asking to shut up.
That's a pretty.
Shut up. It's my time.
I'm not going to let anybody call me a racist, Chairman.
I never called him a racist. It's my time.
It is. Gentlemen, will suspend.
You will not.
Tell him to shut up.
The gentleman will suspend.
Seriously.
I couldn't tell if that was the gavel pounding or the cane.
This is coming from the same guy that was holding up a sign during Trump's...
During his inauguration speech. You did not have a mandate!
Not to mention the other one where he was at the State of the Union address and shoving a sign in front of Trump saying black people aren't apes during that whole debacle.
As if Trump ever made a comment like that.
What he did was he shared an AI video of Obama being an ape and doing one of his speeches there. He quickly put it down. He pulled it down.
And I'm sure he didn't intend it the way they were taking it.
Exactly, yes. It took about 6 hours and stuff like that. But nevertheless, he took it down and he wanted to move on from that whole situation. But no, Al Green is what I say is a bitter old man at this point. He lost the election, here he is.
He's trying to continue making a name for himself.
Exactly. He says, okay, well, if I'm going to lose this election, I'm going to leave a stain inside the Senate subcommittee.
Pack it up. It's time to ride off into the sunset, dude.
It's so, so sad to see where this man's long legacy has ended him up into at this point. I'm so disappointed in him. As an American, I'm also disappointed in the way he has been behaving within our government. Like, this is your way.
He sets his own people back so much because he's sitting there claiming that all these civil rights things are still problems. Mm-hmm. They're not, but look at all the problems he's creating.
Exactly. And again, he's here to represent not only just his state specifically as a senator, but he's there to represent us as an American people as well. And I have to say, he has been nothing but just a biggest disappointment.
Compare him to somebody like a Ben Carson.
Yes, exactly. Example. Who's actually outstanding in his character.
Or Larry Elder.
Yes, exactly. Again, another outstanding character within his own political rights, too. So, well, Bob, thank you so much for this time with you tonight.
It went by fast. Boy, when there's a lot of cheating and fraud, the time goes by fast on the radio.
It's true. Well, we'll catch you, everybody.
More fraud, more cheating next week on The Bob Siegel Show.
The Bob Siegel Show is sponsored in part by the law offices of Matthew Simone.